Welcome back to the Go Ham Podcast. Today we are sitting down with somebody who's going to add a lot of value, especially if you're looking to open a salon or are in the works of opening a salon. We're sitting down with Dana Bouchon, our most recent partner at our third location.
Welcome to the table.
Thanks, guys.
We're super excited to have you. So to preface this conversation, I think it's important to acknowledge that this is our third location that we opened. Yep. So we opened back in 2014, 10 years ago. Dana was with us from the gate. She quickly skyrocketed to the top and became one of our top stylists. So talk to us a little bit about what your experience has been like going from stylist to I want to open a salon.
Hold on. Before we get into that, I think it's important to note that Dana is the Dana salon opened. She's the only salon that opened post-COVID. So it's right. Interesting to see and hear about, you
they
know.
Feel like two different worlds, don't yeah, they? Like pre-COVID and post-COVID are like...
It is. It's a post-COVID world we're living in today.
It's like we stepped into a fucking portal.
Yeah. Wait,
no, it's like when you attach wedding to anything, the price goes up.
Oh, yeah.
It's like
yeah.
Post-COVID. It's like, oh, let me add two zeros to that.
Oh, my God, if that's not the fucking truth. Jesus Christ.
But, all right, so talk to us. I want to know the moment, because I can remember the moment that you came into the office and, like, sat me down. But I need to know what was happening behind the scenes when you were like, okay, I'm ready to do this.
I can remember the moment that she walked out of the office and closed the door and the moment, what I felt in that moment.
Yeah.
I'll talk about it later on, but again, I wouldn't hear about it.
Yeah. I mean, that was a crazy time in my life, to be honest with you. Like, I think you guys remember I was like trying to have another baby and mm-hmm. that wasn't really going my way.
Yeah.
I mean, I was a level 9-10 stylist.
13, 14. 13,
educator. 14, educator.
Educator. Yeah. Yeah, you know. And I was just trying to like reevaluate my life and just see where I was going to go next. It's something that I always wanted to do. In our industry, it's crazy, like coming from where we came from to working with all of you, I've just seen what you've done with the industry and what we've all done, like as a team, really, like all the educators. We give these girls something that I don't think any other stylists, or I'm sorry, any other salons really in our area do. I think we take it from just a Joe Schmo hairdresser to a professional, career-driven stylist, and we give people goals and drive and make them feel good about themselves and not, I hate to say it, but like I feel like sometimes people think we're fucking stupid.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it goes back to, for me, one of the big things in this industry is when somebody's like, oh, how's the shop doing?
Yeah.
So it's like
a fucking shop.
It's like shop versus salon company.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And those two things are completely different in my world, at least.
No, mine too. And I think seeing that and building that with you guys from the beginning, I knew that it was always something that I wanted to do. Kind of to rewind a little bit, like when everything was kind of like changing in my life and like I'm trying to think my future, like I can't be up behind the chair when I'm fucking 60 years old, like slinging haircuts.
Yeah.
It's just my body's killing me and I was just ready. I was like, this isn't my fucking time. Like I'm either going to do it now or I'm not going to do it. Just I felt right. So yeah. I, you know, busted into your office and was like, yo, by the way, I'm thinking about opening up a salon and it's a dream of mine and I would really love for you to partner with me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Going back to that moment, I feel like you came in, you sat down, you're like, hey, I got to talk to you about something. And I'm like, what's up? Waiting for you to be like, dude, we got problems out there. You got to.
No, you know what's funny is I was like, I'm going to have to call her, like sit her down, set up a meeting. And then one day I was at work. I was like in between fucking clients. And I was like, I'm going to go in now.
Yeah.
I went home to Jerry. I was like, by the way, I'm opening up a salon.
Yeah. Well, they just don't know it yet. For me, and I feel like this is something that I'm super proud of, that I feel the people in our company can be so transparent. And in that moment where you were like, you know what, I'm just going to go tell her that I want to open a salon. You did that. And for me, my immediate response was like my stomach dropped and I'm like, oh shit, Dana's opening a salon without us. And then 2 minutes later, you're like, you want to be a partner? And I was like, yeah.
Well, here's the other thing too. I knew that if you guys weren't open to doing that, you guys probably, I mean, you were friends and I feel like you guys would have supported me, which to me is what it's all about.
Yeah. We wholeheartedly would have supported you.
I believe
I don't
that.
Want anybody to feel that like I was like, shit. Like, no, it's just like we would be losing someone that's a part of our company. And that
you
always hurts.
Miss me.
We would absolutely miss you. We miss you now.
I know. Yeah. I was thinking that the other day. It was a total loss for us when you left Newtown.
Yeah. Well, Lindsay,
just a lot of ways, like just hearing your positive voice every day and like coming into the salon. And you brought so much to our team.
Yeah.
Like you were more than a stylist. You were a leader from the beginning. Yeah. And I think you were a mentor. People looked up to you.
Yes.
Guys, I got to be honest. In your blood. I feel like we kind of like won in this. I talk to Dana more than I ever have. I mean, we're like constantly in communication. It's great.
No, we are. We are. But I miss seeing her coming in the salon, eating her salad, like in my office, chit-chatting, talking about like God only knows what, but
bombarding it was just you guys. So nice. Like, you guys like, in a meeting, or like you got like 5 minutes.
I would hear that knock on the door, like, you guys busy? Yeah. And she'd come in, and it was like,
you know the knock.
Yeah. And it was just so nice having her like come break up the monotony of my day. Yeah.
I gotta be honest, I was really hoping I would see you guys more at Malvern, but I don't.
Yeah. Well, that's actually, listen, hold on. I have to be honest. No, this is a good thing because we're confident that you got it under control.
Yeah.
If we weren't, Dana, we would be there a lot more than we are.
Man, thank you for that.
All right, back to the moment, though. I love the casualness of like dinner's on the stove, and by the way, I'm opening a salon.
But can I just
Jerry's like, all right, babe, what are you?
How funny this was, though. Literally, Monica and I were both in the office. She's at her desk, I'm at my desk. And we were just talking about like the chaos of like opening the suites and just getting through all that, and how like it was just such a whirlwind for all of us. And in that moment, I'm not kidding. It was like the same day me and her were talking, and we're like, God, it feels nice. Like we're on a break right now. We don't have anything coming up. Like it's just, we're going to smooth sail at this point. Too. And then next thing you know, Dana comes in the office like a friggin' hurricane and tells us she's opening a salon, and there goes our smooth, calm water.
She started laughing at me.
The waves started crashing in. Yeah. She closes the door, and I just looked at Monica, and I'm like, oh my God, are we opening a salon again? Mm-hmm. We're about to start this again.
Dean, talk to us. Talk to us about like what you expected to be a struggle, and then like what actually was a struggle throughout like this process.
I think what I expected to be a struggle was me balancing behind the chair and being a leader and trying to do everything and being a mom and being a wife and being a friend. And I don't know. I think that was probably what I anticipated to be the hardest.
And there's truth to that. That is a struggle for a lot of people. A lot of people can't transition and they do it for a year or two and then they're like, I'm done.
Well, especially as you fuckers, you guys are just like, it's cool. Don't worry about it. We got it all under control. That's the beauty of like opening a third location. I'm like, I mean, okay, you guys gonna teach me fucking anything? And you're like, well, you just got to kind of get in there and then we like show you. I'm like, what does that even mean?
So I feel like for you, I can definitely remember there was like an anticipation part where before it was like you were chomping at the bit to get started with everything. And it was more for us like, we got to take it when it comes. And I feel like for you, you were like chomping at the bit for it. Like, well, what are we doing? When are we doing it? And it was hard to say that because the biggest thing that we deal with as salon owners is managing people. So if you don't have the people to manage, there's not that whole portion to work on. It's more about we were juggling the construction. We were juggling, you know, dealing with all of the little hiccups that came in.
The real thing is like, no, nothing can ever like prepare you for like, I still struggle, I think, with balancing all the things. So it's like we've taken how many courses and read how many books. Like nothing's going to ever prepare you enough to deal with situations like on a daily basis until you're actually in it. And like now I like welcome problems because I'm like, all right, I'm going to learn something from this and learn how to coach. Or I did this wrong. You know what I mean? So it's like hard to coach that when it's not like real life situations.
It's funny now that you mention that, like when I look back, like, I got to say this, like, I was so focused on, like, learning the computer systems and learning, like, how I'm supposed to do the end of the night stuff and my budgeting and, like, all this kind of stuff. Where really, I'll never forget you guys telling me, maybe not Heather, but telling me, you just need to read. And you were, like, tell me books to read and, like, things to listen to. Mm-hmm. And I wish I would have done more of that.
Same.
And I get, like, mad that I didn't. Mm-hmm.
So, when you just said maybe not Heather, but I feel like I have a different way of learning than those
they do. Well, you told me to like listen, like
listening is good too. But I feel like for me, it's like riding a bike. I can sit here and explain to you how to ride a bike all day long, but until you get on that bike, you're not really learning it until you're in there on it, learning it and doing it. So I wasn't gonna waste your time.
Yeah, no,
because that's how I learn. Like you can sit here and explain it. I can sit through a class and watch a presentation, but give it to me and I'll figure it out. But you're sitting here telling me that? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which is, you know, and that's important to be able to identify that as a leader or just an individual in yourself, what your learning style is and what you actually, you know, process information, how you do that. And for me, like the books, the audiobooks, the podcast, all of the stuff that I do daily to improve as a leader or just as an individual, I have to say, like, you know, I read a book. It might take me 2 weeks to get through it. I'm actually retaining like only a portion of that that is actually going to benefit me in my personal life. You know, I feel like that's important to note. Like, you're not going to, and that's to what you just said about these books, they may not even have been relevant to you. So it's even harder to process when you're in it.
Well, they weren't.
And you can practice.
So it was hard for me to like.
Well, that's just it. It's like you're reading a book about something that you don't have any experience on. So it's like until you're in that moment, actually in that position, then it all starts to make sense. So for me, like I read and I listen to the podcast and the audiobooks and stuff too. But like, it's not relevant to me unless I'm in that moment doing whatever that book's about. That's like me reading a self-help book on like...
It would be like reading a nutrition book, but then not doing it. Like, I'm not in the mindset for that.
Right. But like, so it doesn't even mean anything to you or it doesn't really matter in that.
I'll never forget. I said to Mon, I was like, I actually like learned a lot from Heather like during that because I never really see you in action.
Yeah.
Because you're usually behind the scenes.
She's the silent assassin.
I am.
Pew, pew, pew. All right. Hammer. So balance. I think while we're chatting about this, it's important to note that I think anybody who's considering opening a salon or a business in general, like there's so much truth behind, guys, it's not going to be a 9-to-5.
No.
It's not. That's the biggest change, I think. It's like you go from, I have this schedule, I'm behind the chair, you know, this day, that day. When you're a small business owner or a business owner or a leader in general, I feel like it doesn't turn off. Like it doesn't. Yeah. You know, I get phone calls at 10 o'clock p.m., 5 a.m. I'm constantly on. And, you know, although I'm not always physically on, but you're always worried. You're always, you know, every phone call that comes in, I was saying yesterday, I'm like, I get a phone call and it's after 8:30 p.m. and my immediate reaction is like, fuck, like, what is wrong? You know, like, what am I dealing with right now?
I called you the other day and she answered and she was like, what's wrong? What's wrong? And I was like, oh, I'm just calling to
say hi.
Say hi. I was like, and she was like, oh, well, I got to go. Bye. Well, why did you answer?
Well, I thought there was something wrong.
Because you guys, first of all, I feel like Heather's the only one that likes to talk on the phone. So when I call you guys, I always feel like it's a what's up, Dana. So when you called me, I was like, there's got to be something going on.
Well, that's it. Like, text me. Just shoot me a text. Let me know. If it's a phone call, I'm like, oh, God. What's going on here?
Well, usually because I call you guys all the time because I need advice, which brings me to a really good point. If I didn't have you guys like in my corner, I feel like I call you guys about everything. Sometimes I feel like I'm really annoying, but I'm very grateful for it because kind of to rewind back on like the self-help books and stuff. Well, I don't know if they're called self-help books, but the leadership books and all those kind of books that I'm reading, they help me, but I don't like what I kind of take from them. Like you take something different, you take something different. So when I'm managing my team and I like don't know how to respond correctly, like you give me a different perspective than you and then you. So it's nice because you guys typically do answer when I call, which is great.
Yeah.
But it's usually because I need advice that I can't text.
Yeah.
But I'm super grateful for that because if I didn't have partners, I would just be like, like you can't take fucking off on the Saturday before Christmas. Wait, I don't care if your family's coming.
You're going
town.
Back to me and Heather in 2015.
I was going
to
say, I was just about to say, you're me and Monica before we had Summit.
Yeah. And now Alicia's like, well, I think everybody needs some time with their family. So if they want to come in at 10, it's fine. And I'm like, who are you?
So, I mean, luckily for us, we have partners in each other. You know, we're there to help each other through any of the challenges. That's been super beneficial. But for anybody who is not in that position, who may be going out on their own, this is, again, where we'll mention that it's really important to have some mentors. And if you can afford a coach, I would highly recommend it because you don't have all the answers. And having somebody to even bounce ideas off is so incredibly important.
100%.
Dane, what were the jump scare concerns or struggles or challenges?
Paying the fucking bills. The bills that I was like, holy shit. like throwing every like all these fees at me. I'm just like, oh my God. Yeah. So that would probably be a major one. And you know what? Actually, let me rewind. My team, I wanted them busy. Like it scared the shit out of me when I first opened and it was so quiet mm-hmm. because I came from Newtown where it just buzzes.
Yeah.
You know? And you know, I'm busy. Like I, you know, I book on a 45 and I'm behind a chair and it's crazy. And I just, it was such a weird feeling when I walked in there those that first week and saw like my team. I could tell they were like maybe a little like worried that they weren't busy because I think they expected to be busier. But then I don't know if that was just pressure on myself. Yeah. You know, it was just a lot. It was just a lot because we couldn't really, we didn't really have a set date that we were opening. So to kind of promote that was tricky.
True. But I think something that, like the shift that I've seen in you from stylist to salon owner is that there's a weight now. And that's so true that the worry now is about everybody else. It's not about you.
Yeah.
You know, like you said, you were busy, you had a successful business, but in those moments you're looking around at everybody else and you're worried about them.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's what happens when you become a salon owner or when you become somebody who is in a team-based environment and other people, you're responsible for them. It really weighs heavy. Like it does.
Yeah, you're right. Because I was like losing sleep over it.
It takes a different beast too. Like I feel like it's in your core. And when you go from like a style or, you know, anybody to like a leader, nobody is concerned about you anymore. And like you kind of like have to get used to that. Like you said it the other day, like we eat shit sandwiches every day. Not that like nobody cares about us, but like we're the ones caring about everybody else, you know? And I feel like that's a big change that you have to accept.
That's also something that is so powerful as a leader, like to be able to put your team in front of you and worry about their needs and the needs of the company over your own. That's where I think the value comes in. And it's not, you know, for anybody who's considering this, who's considering becoming a salon owner, I think it's important for you to recognize within yourself if you have that capability, if you're able to put others before you and know that you're going to have to step back and eventually, you know, maybe take a financial cut.
Yeah.
To make sure everybody else is taken care of. If that's something you're willing to do, you're going to be a great leader. If you're not willing to do that, yo, stay put.
Yeah, that's
the truth. And back to the finances. I mean, pre-COVID, we're talking about like the financial investment almost doubled, right? Yeah. So like, I think that's something we were prepared for it to be more. But as we were kind of like going through it, like we all were in this situation where we were like, oh my God, like we need more money. Like,
Oh my God.
So I think that that was a big surprise, not just for you, but like for all of us.
Yeah. So sitting down at Dana's kitchen table that one day, remember when we were first like throwing this idea around, we were trying to come up with a budget and money. And I remember everything was like add 15%. And in my head, I think I actually might've been arguing with you guys too. And I'm like, 15% is not enough. Like it needs to be way more. And you guys are like, no, you're crazy. Like that's what it is. And I'm like, no, I'm telling you the numbers aren't right. Like, and in my gut, I knew something wasn't right. And
Shout out to Heather. She pulls through for us sometimes.
Well, you know what too? I think that
Heather
saw. Yeah, but
you fuckers don't listen to me. I tell you, I put this stuff out there and then you guys don't listen.
I know. I'm sitting there listening to mine like, oh yeah, we'll be good. It's fine. But here's the thing too, is that I think one thing that we did differently with Malvern than probably at Newtown or Wayne, I just remember you guys saying it constantly, was, you know, when you've already bought this shitty equipment.
Right.
So you're like, we need to buy the best of the best equipment, or you're just rebuying it. So like that was, I think, I mean, we're getting fucking custom cabinets and, you know, like it was just a total, I think that's where a lot of our.
It's a lot up front, but it saves you in the end because you're not replacing it in a year or two. Like we made the mistake. We went to New York and bought these beautiful chairs because they looked good. And then we get them back to the salon and they just didn't function well. So
6 months in the dumpster.
6 months in, thrown out.
Yeah. Right. Oh my God. We learned so many lessons
we
on
did.
Newtown. Expensive lessons.
That's what I mean. So like we are, you know, we came into Malvern, we knew what floors we were getting. We knew what stations worked. We knew what chairs worked. Yep. You know,
cabinets. We had it all tested.
Yeah. Like all it was, it. That's one thing I can say, but it's also pricier, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, you know.
Yeah. It's almost like you're putting that money up front rather than like being able to put it up later down the road, you know?
For sure.
Yeah.
So equipment, you know, that was definitely something that is a massive part of what you're investing in.
Yeah.
What other challenges were there? Like, what was your experience with recruiting and hiring and interviewing and all that whole thing?
I mean, again, I'm lucky that you guys helped me with that. The one thing I'll say, you know, management, I think, is probably huge because I needed somebody that was going to be on board with me and, like, my ride or die.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I call her my queen. I do.
Because, shout out to Brooke.
Yeah, shout out to Brooke.
Shout out to Heather for the finder over there.
Mm-hmm. I saw it in her. I saw it in her.
And she's a lot different than me, which I think is huge.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. We balance each other like no end.
Yeah. Head, do you have a crystal ball at home that you look into?
No, I just think I have this crazy intuition. And maybe it's because, like, I'm a Cancer and it has something to do with astronomy and stuff. But, like,
that's definitely it.
I'm telling you. Like, yeah. I get feelings and I just know when things are right and when things aren't right.
Yeah, Brooke's a gem.
So. Brooke is a gem. But I have to say, like, if I didn't have a good manager on my side, I think I would have struggled hard.
Okay.
You're welcome.
Any like interviewing people, and I think it was great because we were there to kind of, I feel like if I'm going back, I can remember having specific interviews where you're like, I think she's great. And I'm like, really? I don't.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like I learned figuring that portion out.
This kind of goes back to like not knowing what I was walking into. So I thought what was really nice is that, you know, we did the Zooms. I thought that was great. Mm-hmm. I liked how we did one Zoom interview. If we liked them, then we brought them in. But you guys all interview, just so you know, all fucking differently.
Yeah.
I personally don't like to interview.
I mean, 100%. Like, I'll sit in with you and there's like no emotion, and then there all of a sudden is. You are like definitely more like talkative, and Heather just, you crack me up because you're like, oh, you sound great. Yeah, I love it.
I see the good in everyone in the beginning, and that could be a bad thing.
Wait, didn't you hire someone who like manhandled a mouse?
Yep. What? Yep. I can remember that one.
Mm-hmm. That's why I don't interview, and this is why I don't hire, because I look at everybody like everybody deserves an opportunity. You know, everybody wants to be part of our team. Like, who am I to say, no, you don't fit in?
Yeah.
Where you guys can kind of have a better intuition. But interviewing styles. Sense.
I learned a lot from you guys. What was good, though, is that you kind of went off that form. So everybody's interview questions were the same, but it was the way that they were presented that were differently. Yeah. And I learned a lot from that. I'll never forget the one time I had an interview by myself. I think you like threw me into it or something. And I was like fucking panicking. I was like, I got to do this on my own. Like, what? Like, you can't jump in with me and you can't. I have to ask the questions.
Wait, I will say, I remember this. I think I was on there, but you led the interview and I got off and I was like, wow, she just like knocked that out of the park. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I like texted you guys and I was like, dude, Dana just crushed an interview.
Learn from the best. Yeah. But the organization, like you guys, that organization there, I think is key. And knowing the questions to ask and being able to read through the bullshit, because I had some wacky ass interviews after that. Like, I had people talking to me from their beds.
Yeah. Well, the Zoom is key because it's like, all right, we're not going to like waste our time trying to figure out in-person schedules. Yeah. Like, let's see if we're even a good fit like through a Zoom.
For 100%. Sure. And you can tell like they're not doing their makeup or their hair in a Zoom. Like, how hard is that?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the one good thing that came out of COVID was Zoom. Like, now that you're in it and you're in the day to day and you walk into the salon every day and you're dealing with problem after problem. Yeah. Like most salon owners, not saying that, you know, obviously good systems in place help. But for the most part, you know, it's everybody coming in and delivering, hey, I have this issue, I have that issue. How are you balancing that?
I'm still trying to figure that out some days.
We all are.
The one thing I will say is I was very overwhelmed in the beginning because, you know, I'm behind the chair 12 hours and then I'm taking extra clients on my days that are short. And I realized that I had to kind of honestly just kind of step back. I noticed the days that I was there and not behind the chair, like these girls, they needed me. And that sounds so cheesy when I say it, but like they liked seeing me there. They're attacking me with questions left and right. Yeah. So it just like eye opened to me that I was like, I need to take a step back, which actually I think you guys talked me into. Yeah. Like taking one day off the floor to kind of help.
Because stop working in your business.
That's so true. Every team needs their leaders. Yeah. They need to be present. Like it's
there's
just
like a mirage of like, I become a salon owner. I could just like just kick back and you know.
Well, it's funny.
Like, I'll call and check in.
Yeah.
Like, and that's okay a day here and there. But for the most part, you need to be present like 98% of the time.
Right.
Yeah. Or somebody needs to be there.
I'm not saying you can't ever step away and like have that. Like you can go on vacation and stuff like that. But I also feel like the reason why.
I've had to fire people on vacation.
Oh my goodness. Well, I'm never sorry. Have a fire I'm going to apologize to those people now that my sister fired you while she was on vacation. Anyway.
She's probably drunk.
No, but what I'm trying to say, though, I feel like people ask us all the time, like, we've had conversations with people, other salon owners, like, what is it that you guys do different? And I feel like for us, what's different is we don't need to be there, but we want to be there. Yeah. And the team loves having us there because mm-hmm. I feel like the camaraderie, the whole culture, like everything just feels complete when it's everyone there.
That was powerful. As
It wasn't powerful.
No, it was. That was solid.
I do feel like I don't need to be there. My salon can run perfectly fine without me there. We have it set up pretty successful with our systems in place. And we have great people there that are running the show when we're not. But us being there is such a key indicator to our success.
True. I need to piggyback off that because I remember when you kind of stepped back a little bit and you weren't in the salon as much.
And shit hit the fan.
I just remember, like, oh, man, it's going to sound so lovey-dovey, but I just remember, like, missing you.
Aww.
And I think the whole salon, like, because you were opening Wayne, you weren't there as much. I
had a baby.
And Heather was there, but you weren't there every day. Like, you were working from home. Like, it was a weird time.
Dana just calling us out on our shit. I love it.
It's good.
But I don't mean it in a... I know. I just remember it. Yeah. So I remember, like, the vibe in the salon because they all felt... We almost all felt like...
Stranded.
Kind of.
Yeah. Well, listen. Yeah. Shout out to the teams that have built a team strong enough. And you have... When you have team members and employees that are so committed to your brand and the growth of the company... Yeah. You guys, I mean, essentially came to us and kind of called us out on it, which was great because in that moment I was like, all right, clocking in Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I'll be
but
there.
I remember that, but that was, I remember like the beginning of it before you were called out. Like, I just remember that feeling of the team, like it changed a little bit. So I was like, I don't want that.
Yeah.
So these are
if
things.
That makes sense.
Well, I feel like that you being a part of all of this and if I know you, I know that you were looking at this from a business perspective as well. You were probably wondering about me and how I might have been processing this, which is great because it was essentially growing you into a phenomenal leader because you've seen some of these issues and challenges.
From the best bitches.
Well, you've seen some of the issues and challenges that we've dealt with over the years, and it's ultimately setting you up for success in your role.
100%.
Which is great.
What I think is powerful, being a leader also, and when we're talking about being present, is I think it's so important that for us, I feel like we lead from the back end. Like when we're there, it just gives the team the confidence. Like it's almost like a boxer without someone in their corner. Yeah. Like you're throwing them in the ring and it's like you expect them to fight and win, but there's no support. There's nothing. So for us, I feel like us being there gives them that extra support.
I cringe when I see like salon owners talking about like, oh, I never need to be there. It's like, stop spreading out that like propaganda. Like, what did you do to get to where you are? And like, do you not want to be at your salon? Like, who is running your salon? Like, stop glamorizing. Yeah. Like, I don't know. I just think sometimes influencers or people that are like coaches can like sometimes glamorize that. And I think it's important that, you know, like you said, like we want to be there.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're proud of, you know, we're proud of this slam. We're proud of our team. Yeah. I want to be part of it.
But
yeah.
I think that's why you guys are so successful. And I think that's one of the reasons why. I think that's one of the reasons why I'm so successful. Yes.
Well, shout out to Dana because within 3 months you were profiting. The Malvern location was profiting, which brings me to finances.
I can't believe it.
So I think ultimately we have a blueprint set up right now, which is amazing. After all these years and all the mistakes that we've made along the way, we finally figured some shit out. We were able to set you up with some, like a path to get you from point A to point B, obviously with the goal to be a profitable business. So let's break it down for the audience who wants to know about the finances, because payroll taxes, all of that stuff is, I think, what people don't see. And I think it comes as a huge surprise.
Oh my God.
Luckily, I think you had an understanding of what was to come. We were able to provide some of that. But like, ultimately, for someone who's not in this, who is looking to open a salon, let's break it down. Like, let's talk about the payroll taxes.
They were a surprise to me, by the way.
The budgets, the inventory. you know, all of that stuff. Because I think when you actually see the credit cards and you're swiping them and paying them and seeing the fees and all of that stuff, it really, really can make or break a business.
Oh, quick. My God. I'll never forget. Like, I think I went in and trained with you, Leash, and you were like, you got to pay like $2,000 or $3,000 a week on these credit cards. And I was like, what?
Yeah. Ours are like 7-8. So
I just mean, like, I was just like, okay. Because to me, that was, I'm like, where is that fucking money coming from? Like, and it just, because we were so budgeted, I think that's where it came from. I mean, granted, don't get me wrong. There was maybe like once or twice I had to like dip into the savings that I had there minimally to pay payroll. But
I mean, you just opened the salon and you have a savings. Like, come on. Like, that's a beautiful thing.
It was. It wasn't. Yeah. It wasn't.
Leash, do you remember when we charged like $150,000 on our Amex?
Oh my gosh.
One of our vendors went to put in like $1,500 but added all these extra zeros.
Yeah.
And we had a $150,000 charge on our American Express. And like, I was bookkeeper. Like, so excited. I'm like, wow. Like, I could go put a nice down payment on a house on a credit
card.
Our
bookkeeper called me and she was like, are you aware of this? I was like, yes.
Oh, my God. Oh my. I could just see you. I can't believe it. Kudos to you.
I had no idea we had that much credit on our line. And I'm like, wow, this is pretty amazing.
24% fee on that would have been good.
Yeah. I mean, we got it all cleared up the next day, obviously. But, like,
you guys set it up, man. Like, I gotta say, like, the budgeting is key. And I am really, really sticking to it. So I think that helps.
Yeah.
Just works.
Definitely going into opening a salon with a budget in place is super helpful from the right out of the gate.
But well, I like the way that you guys do it. You do it off of, we do it off of
sales.
So I think that it's not like you're going in and you're like, I have this much to spend every week. It's dependent on how much profit or how much sales you're bringing in.
I think the biggest thing that salon owners are definitely not prepared for are taxes. Like, and you, I don't know if that, I know the payroll taxes, but when you file your taxes as a salon owner,
you have me saving it
and you make less money than you did the year before, but you owe money. You don't get any money back. Like, I feel like that's the biggest thing. So like having the tax account to be able to pay taxes for the previous year is going to be huge for you.
The taxes are,
What's a key takeaway you could give somebody that wants to open a salon or is a salon owner, new salon owner? What's the biggest piece of advice you could give them?
Besides partnering with Prevay.
Yeah.
Besides partnering with Prevay. Mm-hmm. You have to be ready to put yourself second, and you need to honestly read books and watch podcasts like this and listen to leadership, because that's where it goes. It's not behind the chair anymore so much. It's more like how you're dealing and coaching your team to make them better, especially when you're new, because these girls are coming from all different locations, all different salons with different cultures, and I'm trying to mold them into our culture, and it can be tricky. I feel like I've been lucky. I have a great group of girls. I'm super grateful for them. And through the interviewing process, you can kind of like feel a vibe and see if they're going to kind of be what we're all about. If you don't have that, you're fucked.
Yeah. I think one of the toughest pills to swallow for all of us is that even though somebody may be the most amazing stylist behind the chair, they might be crushing $5,000 days, you know, whatever the case may be, if they're not a good culture fit, it's not worth it.
No, it's not worth it. And I mean, it's hard. It's hard to kind of, I think, enforce our culture when we came from such a strong culture. So like, it was just second nature to me. So like, I had to kind of stop being a friend at times and be a boss and a leader and like have some hard conversations about what we were all about, which was new to me, which that was kind of hard for me to do, but you girls helped me.
Dane, do you have any regrets over opening a salon?
No.
Do you think you
fuck no.
Okay.
I love it.
Was there any, this is going to be a little bit deep, but was there any emotional strain on your relationship during this whole thing? Like, was Jerry super supportive? Were there times where you guys were arguing about budgets or, you know, any of that stuff? Because that's a big deal.
It is. It's huge. I'm lucky. My husband is super supportive. And
we love him.
That's pretty great. He's super supportive. And we had, I mean, you guys all know, like, I opened up my business and 2 weeks later, my father-in-law got sick. And it was, I mean, up until last week when we unfortunately lost him. But so we had so much strain. So it was.
Shout out to Papa B.
I know. Yeah. Papa B never got this. I can't. I'll cry.
I know.
Yeah.
Anyway. But for 6 months, I was basically going back and forth from a hospital. I was being a wife. I was a single mom. I was a business owner, a stylist. So, like, there was a lot of strain. But luckily, man, like, I got to say, I powered through. Me and my, like, Jerry and I don't know how we did it, but yeah. We did. Yeah. And he knew going in, like, how much this was going to take up my time. Mm-hmm. But we're lucky. Like, I mean, not everybody's as lucky as we were. I mean, I had a lot of support with my mom, my friends, my family. Mm-hmm. Like, you guys helped with my son. I mean, so to try to, like, put on a good, like, work face and then have all that shit going on at home, I think you guys said it to me earlier. It's just real life. Mm-hmm. So, like, life doesn't stop, which is fucking hard. So when you're...
I got a quote for you that your husband actually loves.
Oh, the
life doesn't get easier. You just get better at handling the hard stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's the truth, though.
It is. Yeah.
But that is, you know, just the reality of it. So, like, if you are going to open up a salon and you think that this is what you want to do, I'm all for it. But you just have to be prepared, man, because the real shit doesn't stop.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you got to keep going. And you have to be there for your team. Even when you want to fucking cry and crumble. Yeah. And you guys have all done it because I know it goes on in your real lives too through the years, you know? I mean, you're giving birth to a baby, like getting blasted by your team. Yeah. So it's, you know, it's tricky.
Yeah.
I think it's important to note too, when you're trying to open a salon, you need to be prepared on all angles. Mm-hmm. Like, not just like the burden that it may have taken on your personal relationships, but it's a huge financial burden that needs to be planned for. It's not something you can just wake up one day and be like, I'm going to go tell my boss I'm opening a salon tonight. Right. Like, this is years in the making. And I think it's important to note that when you want to open a hair salon, you need to make up your mind about it. If this is something you really want to do, you need to really study and learn about the industry. But more importantly, I think you need to set yourself up for success financially before 100%. You can even jump into something like this, because if you didn't have your finances in order, can you imagine the strain it would have put on your relationship?
No, like, I can't.
It is a lot of upfront out-of-pocket costs.
Oh, yeah. I will say that is one advice I can 100% give to people, is that one regret I have is I wish I would have saved more during that year where I was like, woohoo, like, it's fine. Everything's going to be fine, because you do have to step back. And when you step back I had to step back as a stylist, and you're not like making as much. So I wish I would have kind of put that in my mind, because I was kind of going off of my budgeting from what I'm used to making. And the first year's tough. So like, how we were talking earlier, how, like, you just sometimes don't make as much to put your team first. And that is one thing I wish I would.
Which, to be honest, Dana, you financially, you came to the table with a hefty chunk. So, like, that's what I want to say. It's like, even though you came with, you had your, when you presented this to us, you were ready. You had your finances in order. You had a big chunk of change. You were ready to invest. And
there's no failing for me.
It still wasn't enough.
Yeah.
And that's what it's, I think that's important to note. On that note, we're so happy to have you. I think that you provide a tremendous value. I think the audience is going to take so much away from this, and we look forward to having you back. Mm-hmm.